Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, December 18th. Joining us in studio this morning, the Reverend Terry Dittmer. He is in the Executive Director for Youth Ministry here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And right around the corner, not too far down the road, is the Youth Ministry Symposium, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Good morning, Pastor Dittmer. Good to have you with
us
this morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back in the studio.
Glad to be back.
Not too long ago, we got to talk on faith and family, so good to have you back. Right around the corner, the Youth Ministry 2014 Symposium, Faith, Values, and Millennials. What's it all about?
It really is about our ministry to the post-high school young adult. The National Study of Youth and Religion, which was a major study begun back in 2002, I believe, by Christian Smith. They wanted to see what the faith life of youth were at that time, but they promised longitudinal studies. So this is the third wave, Lost in Transition. The book this symposium is based on is the third wave of working with the same people they interviewed in 2002. So they're now in their 20s and in some cases early 30s. The question is, where are they faith-wise, and what are their values? And the subtitle of the book that we're using, Lost in Transition, is The Dark Side of Emerging Adulthood. They found some very sorry findings about the post-high school young adult. The LCMS retains about 86% of its young adults or teenagers through high school, which is really good. But then we fall off like everybody else does to the tune of about 50%, just drop out of church and youth ministry, any kind of ministry, after high school. So how do we minister to them? How do we reach out to them? What are they dealing with in their lives? That's the subject matter of the symposium.
How do we keep them connected to the body of Christ so they're receiving the gifts regularly, the gifts of God in word and sacrament?
Yeah, there seems to be, in many cases, an automatic disconnect from that. It's just like, I'm done with high school, click.
I've graduated,
I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And the church, for the most part, has thought they'll come back. The traditional thought was they might go off to college for 4 years. They'll be back in the neighborhood in 4 years. Mm-hmm. They'll come back to church because they'll want to get married and they'll start having babies. That worked in the 50s and 60s, but it's just not the way it happens. Young adults are not marrying, if they're marrying at all, they're not marrying until they're in their late 20s or early 30s. They're having babies in the mid-30s and late 30s. By that time, they've been away from the church for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the same connections that back in the 50s and 60s young adults did.
Sure.
Have the numbers changed dramatically in recent years, or have they pretty much been the same? As a pastor, I've seen you have the kids, you confirm them, they usually stick around through high school if their folks pretty much encourage them to or force them to, one or the other. And then, like you said, in college, they tend to go away. And I think it's just kind of been that common knowledge, not accepted or even good, but kid goes off to college, they're going to go out and do their prodigal thing for a while. And then once they get married, they'll come back to the church to get married. Then they'll disappear for another few years. And then when their kids are ready for confirmation, then they reengage in the church usually. And like you say, in their late 30s, early 40s sometimes. Has this not been the pattern for the last 50, 70 years?
I think the answer to that question probably is that our society has come to the point where they don't have expectations for coming back. Mm. They definitely expect all this experimentation and weird behavior. But at this point, society expects that to happen and expects it that it's just going to stay that way. And the church maybe doesn't have a vision for how to bring them back and reconnect them to the church, or how to maintain the connections to begin with. The book Lost in Transition cites a number of issues that are a part of the lives of young adults these days. Confused moral reasoning, meaning they simply don't have values or they don't have a moral code that directs the way they live. And in many cases, they choose that. It's not that the switch went off. They choose to be confused or disconnected. Routine intoxication is another one, whether it's alcohol or drugs. Materialistic life goals. Regrettable sexual experiences and disengagement from civic and political life. The last one is the one where the book really looks at the disconnect of young adults with the church, with other institutions, with the political world. They also include a little discussion of stewardship and how disengaged young adults are from making a contribution to to anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, Worldwide KFUO, we don't receive any synodical funding, and our donor base is getting elderly. And, you know, it's kind of starting to dry up a little bit here. And I think that part of the problem that we face is what the church is facing, is that the older folks are faithful about giving. The younger folks, it's not even really on their radar.
Right.
I know out in California, I had parishioners, and you know, I just almost cry over this. They spent more on Starbucks on their way to church than they put in the plate, you know?
And I'm afraid that's not an unusual situation.
No, it's not at all.
I believe the word hyper-individualism came up in a recent conversation about that. Is this a topic that comes up?
It is a part of the dark side, and basically, it gets at the whole idea how children and teenagers are catered to, in that everybody's a winner. It's the when the baseball team plays, everybody gets a trophy, everybody gets a medal. Everybody gets an A. You use it in the term or in the sense of everybody's worthy.
Craig, you're special. Terry, you're special too.
Thank you.
I love you all equally.
I appreciate your affirmation.
but that's what it is, though, isn't it?
Exactly. And so young adults, to some extent, have grown up with this sense that they are very special and society needs to cater to them over against what they can contribute to society, family, church, whatever.
And now I'm a bad person because I've made fun of the fact that we've called people, you know, everybody special. Now I'm not a good educator.
As a called and ordained servant of the word, I forgive you your sins, Andy. And I think that Andy brings up something that you know, triggered something in my mind that when you are raised with this idea that you're special, you're good, and then the pastor stands up and says, you are all sinners and you deserve to go to hell apart from Christ. There's nothing good about you. Is this a message that's palatable?
Well, it definitely in the context of the study, one of the reasons young adults are struggling with things like their intoxication and their sexual experiences is that I believe there's a nagging sense that something's wrong, but they don't necessarily know what it is or why it is. One of the speakers is Tom Couser, who's a longtime D.C. and youth counselor from Texas. He wrote a book called Passing the Torch, Sharing the Values and Faith with the Millennial Generation. And the idea of how do we help young adults know what our Christian values are and what the Christian life is all about, what the forgiveness of sins is, how do we share that with the young adults? And one of the intriguing things about his book is his encouragement to grandparents, who maybe have a stronger connection to God, church, faith than their own sons and daughters. So grandparents to grandchildren.
Bridge that gap that's left out in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we need to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about who's going to be there in terms of speakers and also who might be interested in this conference, or in this symposium, not just a conference, a symposium. So stick around. We'll continue our conversation with Pastor Terry Dittmer right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Craig Ganofrio. I got a mouthful of water here.
And joining us in studio this morning, Pastor Terry Dittmer, from Youth Ministry here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about the Youth Ministry 2014 Symposium. Pastor Dittmer, when is this symposium?
Symposium is January 9 to 11. It's here in St. Louis at the Hilton Airport Hotel.
And so it's right around the corner. Is registration still open?
Registration is still open. Actually, people could walk in the day of the conference and participate. It would be very helpful for us in terms of preparing name badges and ordering lunches.
Sure, sure. So registration would also then guarantee you a spot. If it fills up, it fills up.
Right. And how would people find out about that registration?
It's on the website, lcms.org/youth, and then scroll down to the symposium.
And we can provide a link with the archive from today's show as well.
Sure.
So lcms.org/youth/youth-symposium. That'll take you right to it as well. What does the symposium include? I know there will be speakers. What's on the lineup for that?
It starts at 12:30 on Thursday the 9th with lunch. That's a part of the package. And goes through 11:30-ish on Saturday. That's the 11th. It includes lunch on Friday. So that's all a part of the package. There are four speakers or facilitators. The speakers include Hillary Davidson and Patricia Herzog, who are part of the co-authoring team of the book Lost in Transition. Christian Smith was the lead researcher. We had Christian Smith at our conference 3 years ago, and he recommended Hillary and Trish as speakers for this symposium. Then we also have Tom Kauser, the DCE, What Does This Mean for Lutherans? Mm-hmm. And how do we share our values and faith with the young adult? And then Craig Oldenburg is our facilitator. He's the how is this done kind of guy who around tables will facilitate a conversation so that those who have participated and heard can take it and make it practical for what does it mean back home in the parish.
Very good. So lots to cover.
I think that pastors everywhere see the problem that we're losing all these kids, and we're losing them to our culture. We're losing them to the secularism. The kids in high school these days, they come to a conservative LCMS church and they don't have a problem with gay marriage. They don't have a problem with any of these moral issues. Living together is just fine and all the rest. And they haven't gotten that from church. They've gotten this from the culture. And I think that we see the problems, and of course they're diagnosed quite specifically, but what about solutions? Are we seeing some solutions that are actually effective?
That's a good question. This generation by some has been called the nuns, and that's N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S.
Not people who go into a monastery or a convent.
But nun means they have no faith at all. They're not atheists. They're not against God. They just don't recognize that there is anything like God. So that's a whole different battle. If you start talking about values and faith, they don't have a dictionary that explains to them what that is. I think part of it is discovering a new language to communicate with them. Certainly opening up dialogue, but then also sharing old language as we have it in what it is we believe as Lutherans. There is a certain irony in that, yes, many young adults are interested in conservative churches because they are conservative churches that have a strong value base. Hmm. Finally, there's an answer for that. Now, I'm not suggesting that hundreds of thousands of young adults are going to flock to LCMS church doors on Sunday because we are a conservative church body, but we do stand for something. Kendra Creasy Dean wrote a book called Practicing Passion. She said young adults, one of the things she says is, young adults are willing to live for something worth dying for, and churches need to be communicating that.
Wow.
So how do we do that? That's one of the reasons we have a symposium, is to explore current issues, current realities about today's young people, and then address how is this done. That's why the symposium always includes that practical, what do you do with the information you've just heard?
I appreciate that you pointed out learning a new language, learning the language, the culture, the what young adults, what youth understand and what they use every day. And in addition to that, also helping teach, bring that old language, the language of the church into that culture so that they understand that culture, or so they understand that language, who we are as the body of Christ. I appreciate that because quite often in other movements, in other church bodies, we want to leave that behind, that important stuff, the rich and important language of the church. I think that's important that we not just learn their language and learn who they are, because then we just become another, you know, we all become this new generation of young people and leave the important treasures of the church behind if we don't bring that language into.
I don't think we should assume by any sense of the term that they're lost forever.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to dialogue, they want to talk, they want to collaborate, they want to be included in the process. Now, lecture is not a really great way to reach young adults, but side-by-side mentoring kind of relationships, intergenerational relationships. Our symposium last year was on intergenerational ministry and how to help the multiple generations that are part of congregational life live and work together.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, a friend of mine went to what used to be East Germany, and over the period of decades, all Christianity pretty much had been wiped out. Little remnant of the Eastern Orthodox Church, little remnant of the Lutheran Church, but so influenced by government and everything else that they may as well just be agnostics for the most part. And they were amazed that as they would talk to people, there wasn't a hostility to Christianity. There was just a nothingness there. And I think that that Eastern bloc is a lot like it was in the days of the early church when no one had even heard of this Jesus. Are we heading to that kind of a place here in America?
I think that's possible. I'm not ready to say we're jumping off the bridge tomorrow. But this whole attitude of none is intriguing to me, that you can simply believe there is. Actually, it's not belief at all. You simply have no context for God, for faith, for values, for morals. It just doesn't exist. And then you live your life in it, and that's where a lot of the young adults are finding themselves, the none generation. It's not that they're against God. They just don't have a clue who or what a concept of God might be.
Not even on the radar.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And they're not interested. And yet that's where the struggle comes in, because then they're dealing with intoxication. They're dealing with sexual experiences. They're dealing with materialism. They're dealing with this disengagement from political life and church life. And they don't necessarily understand that there's an empty. They don't necessarily understand that there's an emptiness in their life. And they certainly don't understand, or they don't have a clue where to go to fill that emptiness. That's where the church comes in. How do we minister to and with and share the faith, share the New Testament lesson for this morning, and why do they care about angry lambs and things?
It doesn't,
why should they?
It doesn't seem that they're going off to other religions that much either. I don't know of any really booming religions, and especially in America, that are really, really growing in massively. Islam seems to be on the uptick, but I think that's as much cultural as anything else.
Yeah, church is not growing. Churches are not growing, or religious institutions are not growing. Yet I saw a fascinating study the other day, said that there are still at least 73% of the United States population is still considered Christian. That's pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. And 40% of those people go to church on Sunday. Well, we could lament that it's 40%, but wow, there's 40% of 75% of the population in church on Sunday. So we can be optimistic and then charge our energies up on Sunday morning with Word and Sacrament and head out into the hinterlands. Older folks, like I'm getting to be an older folk.
And there's your staff walking by making faces at you while we're talking.
The curse of the fishbowl of KFUO here.
That's a younger folk.
That's right. Pastor Dittmer, who would be interested in this symposium? It's right around the corner. Just when, you know, as soon as Christmas settles down and we get into Epiphany, it's right around the corner, January 9th. Who would be interested in this symposium so they can get on board and register?
Anybody who's really interested in working with youth or young adults, I think would be our target audience. But we do gear the format and the language, the function of the program to the professional church worker. So we have a lot of pastors who register for the symposium. We also DCEs, some teachers, and a few volunteers. But anybody who's really got a heart for youth ministry will profit from coming to the symposium.
So it really could be a big mix of, as you said, professional and lay workers who are coming together, pastors, DCEs, directors of family life.
Absolutely.
Volunteers. So, and from all over. Now, the registration includes, as you said, that includes lunch on that first day. And the second day.
Two lunches.
If you feed them, they will come.
Well, I'm thinking about going now that I know that there's food. I might show up.
Well, I'm planning on being there too. We're going to do our best to broadcast live for the first time from
We've
the.
Never done that before.
Yeah, so we're going to try to broadcast part of the conference during Faith and Family on that Friday, so we can hear from the speakers and hear what's going on at that conference. That's our goal. We're going to try it. So we're looking forward to that. So January 9th through the 11th at the St. Louis Hilton Airport Hotel here in St. Louis. And so you can register for that online. Go to lcms.org/youth-symposium and check it out. And we'll try to provide a link for that as well. Pastor Dittmer, thanks for coming in studio this morning to talk with us about this.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
God's blessings to you and all the folks who are working in youth ministry here. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to study God's Word with Pastor Kevin Golden from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. Stick around.